the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. And I just want to ask if you've been blessed already by the kids or with the worship. Say amen. I want to thank Pam Durnell and Julie Turbide for working with the kids the last few weeks. And definitely always good on Christmas to be able to see our kids participate and do something special during the Christmas season. If you want, we're going to be looking, continuing in our series today, through the Christmas story, through the eyes of the different characters. We're going to be looking at Mary today, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. You know, I want you to think for a moment. Imagine, it's kind of each of these weeks, we kind of try to put ourselves in the shoes of the individual character. And I just want you to think not only about Mary, but think about Israel. We just sang the song, O Come, Emmanuel. That longing and that waiting for that promise that God, that day that God would come and be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. They were waiting for that day of the Messiah. They were waiting. They were longing. You know, I find that most of us don't wait real easily. I know my kids are getting excited about Christmas Day. Or Christmas Eve. I think they're just excited about being off school. But, you know, my daughter has the door all decorated, waiting. She's excited. I know both of the kids are excited. And all the kids. This is a time of the year that just trying to keep some normalcy, not chaos at home, can be a challenge. But, you know, we wait. We wait for a lot of different things in our life. Just some of the things that we wait for, I want you to think about. We wait for Christmas morning. Some of you, you may not be a kid, but you still may be a kid at heart, and you wait, and you get excited about Christmas morning. You may be waiting for family to come, and then you might be waiting for family to leave. I was amazed over the last month how much excitement and anticipation there was waiting for the Taco Bell to open in town. Anyone else go through that? You know, a lot of different things. Yeah, I never, had you told me 5 years ago I'd be excited about a Taco Bell opening, I would have said you were crazy. But, you know, we wait for a lot of things, and yet Israel, including Mary and Joseph, were waiting for the day that the promised Messiah would come. There was that longing, that anticipation. And today we're going to be looking at Mary, and I just want to encourage you again as we watch the video to just try to imagine going from that place to not only waiting for the day that the Messiah would come, but when the time came for God to begin his plan of revealing the Savior to the world, to find out that you had a central part to play in it. I mean, that's Mary, her whole family, her grandparents, they would have all looked forward to that day that God would send the Messiah. But imagine the incredible reaction beyond the shock of how Mary is to be involved, but just to know that God is privileged, giving you the privilege of being a central role in the story of how the Messiah would come to earth. I want to encourage you to watch the clip, and again, these videos use a little creative license in telling the story of the characters, but just in talking to you, I know many of you have talked about how the videos have impacted you over the last month as you try to get in the shoes of the character, but let's go ahead and hear from Mary this morning and what this must have been like for her.
As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come, but, well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl from Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth, never has. For sure, that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me. And that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. First young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he had already changed me.
You know, as we looked last week, we looked at Joseph and just that incredible example of Joseph of trusting God and just being obedient. We could have said the same for Mary. We could have also looked at Mary and the fact that she, when the announcement was made to her, just accepted the role of being a servant of the Lord. And a lot of different things you can look at. Looking at Mary's example is something that we can not only celebrate and to look back, but also something that we can model in our own life. I think sometimes in our tradition, we don't take the time to ponder Mary. And we need to remember Mary's role and look and reflect and remember that she gives us an incredible example to follow. And today we're going to be looking specifically at again, Luke 1, verses 46 through 56. And this is picking up from where we were a few weeks ago when we looked at Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, you remember the story, Elizabeth was also given a special child. And God gave her the privilege to give birth to John the Baptist, who would make the way and prepare the way for Jesus. And when we looked at that story and looked at Elizabeth, we know that when Mary came to visit her, that the baby actually leaped inside of her with joy. And she gave testimony, Elizabeth gave testimony to the fact that the child that Mary carried was the Son of God. And what follows that is Mary's response in that moment. So this is before the child is born, but after that incredible God moment of God just speaking, not only to Elizabeth, but speaking to Mary in that moment, and just one more confirmation beyond the angel, beyond all the other ways that God has confirmed, even speaking to Joseph, she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth and has this incredible example and opportunity to hear Elizabeth say, "This child is special." What we see in Mary's response in verse 46 through 56 is Mary singing a song of praise. In some traditions, they refer to this as the Magnificat, which is a lifting up, a song of praise. It's from the words in that first part of that phrase that my soul magnifies. And what follows is an incredible example. Not only is it a spontaneous moment of Mary just lifting up God, the praise to God, but it's an example, I believe, too, of how we are to worship with our entire being. Not just to go through the motions. It's so easy to go through the motions of Christmas, go through the motions of Easter, go through the motions during those key times of the year, and yet we also can go through the motions on a weekly basis and miss the fact that worship is something that flows from within us and involves our entire being. I want to encourage you to read along with me, Luke 1:46 through 56. But we're going to look at Mary and this song of praise as an example of how we too should give our whole heart and praise to God. Verse 46, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." You know, that first phrase in verse 46 through 47 is really the central point of what follows. And it's that statement of introducing this hymn of praise to God. And she said, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She's giving us that reminder of the importance of worshiping God, not just through physical outward observance, but worshiping from the heart, our true self. This is poetic in the fact that the soul and the spirit is being used here to describe really the same thing, that our inner life, what throughout the Old Testament would refer to our heart, that inner life, which is our feelings, our emotions, our thought, our true self, that we come to a place, and Mary is making the choice in this moment from her inner self, her true self, of worshiping God with her entire being, of magnifying God. Look at verse 46, 47. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Just want you to think, we're going to look at each of those words a little bit to help us understand what that means. But the words from Mary actually reflect Psalm 103. And actually, you could take the entire Psalm 103. There's a lot of similarities in Mary's words of praise to what we see in Psalm 103. But it starts in Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It goes on to talk about God's benefits and all the ways that God has blessed us. Mary, in response to being invited to carry this special role, or play this special role in God giving his son to the world and giving the Messiah, the very Son of God, to the world, when Elizabeth lists up this word and this incredible moment, Mary is a spontaneous moment where she just gives song of praise to God for who he is and what he's done. And the first part of this, it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And I just want you to think for a second, what does it mean to, if we're talking about worship, what does it mean to magnify something? I mean, if we were talking to a kid, the idea of saying that something is magnified is it's made bigger. And the idea is to, it could be translated to exalt, to glorify, but it's a sense of increasing the honor of something. It's causing something to be held in greater esteem, but literally it's making something bigger. It's recognizing the bigness of something and lifting that up in praise to God. Mary, in that moment, didn't focus on herself. She focused on who God was. She focused on what God was doing in the world and that she had been blessed to be a part of this. And she, her soul, right from within her, she magnifies the Lord. She lifts up a word of praise to him. You know, I just want to ask you today, what are the things that you magnify in your own life? What do you hold in great esteem? Maybe in more simple terms, what do you make a big deal about? You know, getting close to playoff season. My Steelers are still in it, right, Jacob? It's very easy as a sports fan to make a big deal about our sports teams, our athletic teams, and yet nothing in comparison to who God is and what God is doing in this moment for Mary. In our life, we have to ask ourselves, what are the things that we get excited about? What are the things that we lift up, that we talk a lot about, that we make a big deal about in our life? And I just want to ask you, as you think about how you would answer those questions, where does God play in this? During this week of celebrating Christmas, will you make a big deal about Christ, the child, the Messiah, your Savior? Will you take the time to really focus your heart in worship, to lift up, to exalt, to magnify Christ? Mary goes on, though. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. She said, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You know, I love the fact that she uses these two terms as an expression of her worship, because sometimes I think we miss the fact that God doesn't want us just to lift up and give honor to him, to make a big deal about who God is. But God actually wants us to enjoy that process. He wants us to experience joy in our worship. He wants us to understand who God is and what he's done for us, so that there is a spontaneous reaction of joy and excitement and happiness as we lift up our words of praise to God. This idea of rejoice can also be translated to exalt. But it's the idea of being glad, of feeling joy, to feel extreme happiness or elation. You know, as I thought of that, I know I've shared this quote before, and I'll get there in a second. But I want you to think, when you talk about responding to joy, what makes you happy? What gives you joy in your life? And again, Steelers win today. I'm going to have a little bit of joy. But nothing. The idea here is joy for who God is and what God has done for us. Having a true happiness and a joy that is not going to depend on whether or not Ben drops the ball today. It's a joy that supersedes any of the things that we sometimes so often make a big deal about. I want to ask you in the next slide. There's a great quote, John Piper. It's my favorite quote from his books. I know I've shared it before, but I think it bridges those two themes of what Mary does in her words of praise to God. That she magnifies God, but at the same time, her spirit rejoices, has joy. John Piper has said a number of occasions that God is most glorified in us. He's most lifted up, exalted, magnified, you could say. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Those two things go hand in hand. And some of you, maybe you've experienced your only experience with worship has been something that you felt you had to do. It was an obligation. And yet God wants us to not only see him for who he is, to see what he's done for us in sending Christ, but that we not only look at him and want to lift him up in words of praise and to lift him up, to magnify him, but also that our hearts would be changed, and that there'd be a joy and a happiness that would flow through us as we lift up our praise to God. Not only in what we do in a worship service, but in how we live our lives and how we live each day. God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. As you look back and say to the questions I asked on that last slide, what are the things that bring you satisfaction? What are the things that bring you joy? You could also ask, is it really lasting joy? Is it lasting happiness, lasting satisfaction? God has given us his son, Jesus. God has come, Emmanuel, God with us. He's come in the flesh so that we might know him. And there is nothing in this world, nothing in this life that will fill your deepest needs and your deepest longings in a way that God has created for those needs and those longings to be met in Him. We all have to come to that place that we not only recognize our need for God, but that we recognize that in Him we can find life and life to its full. As Jesus, in some translations, describes abundant life. He wants to not just save us. He doesn't want to just save us. He wants to give us full and abundant life. And that can only happen when we put our faith and trust in Christ. I want to ask you, when you look at your own life and say, to look at your own life and compare it to Mary in these words, are you magnifying God in your life? Are you lifting Him up in your life? And are you experiencing joy and satisfaction in Him to where you could echo John Piper's words and say that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him? Mary, in those first two verses, 46 and 47, gives that introductory statement, that call and what she's demonstrating and what it means to really worship God with our whole entire being. She goes on then to describe really two main reasons why. Why she's worshiping God, why she's exalting God, lifting Him up, why she's finding joy in this moment. And one of the first things we see is that really Mary understands that God has seen her people's need. And God has seen her need. And she says in verse 48, "For He has looked upon the humble estate of His servant." The word that's translated here, "for He has looked," it's not just that He sees Mary, and not just that He sees Israel, but that you're looking and you see a need with the intent that you're going to do something about it. That's really what we see in the Christmas story, that God understood our need, not just Mary's need, not just Israel's need, but God understands all of our need, and He's doing something about it and sending His Son into the world as our Savior. Verse 48 goes on, she unpacks this. She says in verse 48, "For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. For His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation." Now Mary, in the two reasons she gives, and this, the focus is very much on a personal level. She's recognizing just what a privilege God has given her. And recognizing that the God of the universe, the God of all power, has recognized this humble servant, this young woman, and given her an incredible privilege to bear the Son of God. She says, "For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is His name, and His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation." You know, I find that as I talk to people and just my experience in churches over the years, is sometimes when God gives us a great privilege to serve Him in some way, one of the most dangerous things is to get our focus off of God and the privilege He's given us, and where we become self-focused, to where it becomes more about us than about God. Mary demonstrates an incredible humility in this, and that she recognizes that God has looked upon her and her humble estate, that she is just a humble servant. She's just a humble girl. There's just like Joseph last week, there's nothing of pedigree, there's nothing of a great resume here, and yet God has invited her to play this incredible role. She understands that it's not about her, it's about God and the fact that God has blessed her, that she is blessed. Mary understood it was a privilege. That idea of the fact that she understood that she was blessed by God, it's the same word that we see in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, where Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, Mary not only understood that this idea of fulfilling this role of the mother to the Christ child had nothing to do with her. It was all about the fact that God has given her this blessing. And she's giving God the praise and directing all praise and honor to God for what he is doing through her and recognize that she's blessed. You know, I love the video and the fact that it brings out that fact that when, because Mary, we look at the exchange with the angel, we look at this exchange with Elizabeth, and we look at that night where the shepherds came to see the Christ child, we know that Mary understood who this child was. And I can't even imagine what it must have been like for Mary to hold the child and to know that that child was also her Redeemer, her Savior. She understood that she, not just the world, but she personally understood that she needed a Savior. She understood her need for a Savior. And I just want to ask you, do each of us understand that we all have a personal need for a Savior? Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we recognize our need, we know that God looked upon us, just like he looked upon Mary. God looked upon the world and he recognized the need. Because the sin in our hearts, the sin in our life, separated us from a holy and perfect God. But because of his love, he gave us the gift, of his son who would come to be the Redeemer. That even though our sin deserves, the wages of our sin is death, that when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we can experience that latter part of that verse. We can experience what it means to enjoy that free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. We can put our faith in who Christ is and what he has done for us on the cross and in his resurrection. Just like Mary held the Christ child, we have to make a choice to say, do we understand that we have a need for a Savior? And that God has recognized our need and sent his son. Verse 51, there's a little bit of a transition. Mary goes from talking about this privilege that she has and the fact that God has recognized her humble estate and recognized our need. He now goes on to give example after example of how God demonstrates his strength. And if you're familiar with the chorus that we sing occasionally, I think as I looked at these words, I kept thinking of the chorus that he is mighty to save. Verse 51 begins by saying, he has shown strength with his arm. You know, throughout the Bible, we see examples that God being described as demonstrating his strength and activity in the world by baring his arm. In Isaiah 52:10, it says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. It's one of my favorite images in Scripture because it's like the idea that God's rolling up his sleeve to show the muscle, to show his strength. I didn't scare anyone there, right? Sorry. You know, that picture of God demonstrating his strength, not just to demonstrate his strength, but in verse 10 of Isaiah 52, again, it says, he will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. God demonstrates his power, demonstrates his strength, that he might save us. And that's the focus of Mary's words here. And if you, I think the slide, you might be able to see some of the words that are highlighted. But it starts out, and everything falls under this statement that Mary makes, that he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. You know, as we look at those words, what's amazing is this is before Jesus is born. Mary's still carrying Jesus. And look at the tense of these words, and the way it's translated in English is, he has shown strength. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty. He has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. And he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. It's giving a confident statement of, he's done these things. The translation is in Greek, it's an aorist, which doesn't, you don't need to remember aorist. But the point of what we need to remember is each of those verbs, each of those statements that Mary is making, She's saying it before it's ever happened. She's making these statements and saying, it's done. Before she's even given birth to Jesus, she's making those statements that God has shown his strength. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty. He's exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. There's a confidence in what she is saying. Some of the commentators actually describe this as a prophetic use of the tense. That Mary is making a statement, not just to something that what we are saying is, what we look at as saying past tense. Mary is saying this in a past tense for things that have yet to happen. God is in the process of using Mary and Joseph to be a part of this plan, to do all the things that Mary is now singing songs of praise to God about. She's confident that God is demonstrating his strength and he will fulfill his plan. So again, we put this, Mary starts out with a statement of praise, that her whole soul, her spirit magnifies the Lord, and her spirit rejoices within her. It's a worshiping God, and then goes on to explain that it's because God not only sees our need, he responds to it. And that God demonstrates his strength and that he is mighty to save. In that moment where Mary held the Christ child, she understood that this was not just her child, but this was the Savior of the world. You know, as I was thinking about that, In some ways, I think that it doesn't seem like it was more than a year or two ago that I held both my children for the first time. And yet I look back and then I'm thinking, well, no, that seems like forever ago. But, you know, I can, one vivid memory I had when Bryce was born. Bryce, after Jan was in labor all day, long day, Bryce was born with a bruise on his head. She was trying hard. About 10 o'clock that night, after being in labor all day, Bryce came by C-section. And I remember one of the first moments I had with Bryce, he's in the incubator, all wrapped up, tighter than I could ever wrap him. And I just remember him with his little blue blanket and his little blue hat, looking up with his big brown eyes. And that moment of looking down and saying, that's my son. That moment of realizing that joy, Mary would have had all those feelings. Holding Christ and say, this is my son. I can't even imagine taking all those feelings and all those emotions and multiplying them with the fact that this is my Savior. This is my Redeemer. This is the one that will meet my need and the world's need for salvation. And he's the one who we can lift up in words of praise and songs of praise. I'm amazed when you think, it's one of those statements we say, and I don't think we unpack it much, but after the angels come and they see Christ and they leave, in Luke 2:19 it says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. That's a simple way of saying Mary's mind had to be blown by what's going on and what God is doing in and through her. Mary knows that she's been given an incredible privilege. And in response to Elizabeth's words in that moment of greeting, Mary gives us an incredible song that is a demonstration of what true praise and true worship is, where our soul lifts up, magnifies the Lord. Our spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because he's recognized our need. He's seen us, and he is mighty to save. He has shown his strength. He has provided for us through his son, Jesus. Today, as we close, I just want to encourage you this week to don't just go through the motions. Take the time to think of the fact that God saw your need and he sent his son into the world to save you. And if you've never responded to that gift of God's son, you need to understand that he would have done it just for you. But we all have to come to that place in our own heart and our life that we not only believe who Jesus is as the Son of God and believe what Jesus did on the cross and in his resurrection, but that we make the choice to put our faith and our trust in him. To not just say that he's the Savior of the world, but to put our faith and our confidence into him and to say, he is my Redeemer and I'm trusting in him. If you've never made that choice today, I encourage you, even as we close in singing, feel free to come, talk to me, talk to one of the elders. But As a church, our focus is to lead people to a place where they can have a personal relationship with Christ, that they can understand their need for a Savior, and then enter into a relationship with Christ, their Savior. But I also know that we desire that we all be true worshipers, that God desires that we truly worship Him, not going through the motions, but worshiping Him from our hearts, that we lay down our lives in response to Christ and His love for us, and that we lift up Christ in our lives, and we let His joy fill us and His happiness fill us as our spirit rejoices in God our Savior. We pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for not only the fact that You sent Your Son. You made the way for us to know You. But Lord, I just thank You for the incredible examples You give us in Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth, very human people who were given an extraordinary opportunity to be a part of this story. Lord, I just thank You for Mary's example of just accepting what Your plan was for her life and yet walking in meekness and humility, recognizing that even she needed a Savior. Lord, I just pray that today that we would worship in response to the fact that we know that we each have the need. We were all sinners. We've all been separated from God, but because You've loved us, because You loved us, You sent Your Son, not to condemn us, but that through Your Son we might have life, that we might know You. And Lord, I just pray that today that we truly would worship You for who You are, that we'd make a not just in this closing moment, but in this week, Lord, that we'd make a big deal about You, that we'd exalt You, magnify You, lift You up in our lives and all that we do and all that we say. And Lord, that our spirit, our soul would truly rejoice in You, that we'd find our joy and our satisfaction in You alone. Lord, just be working in and through us, even in these closing moments. Draw us to that place, Lord, that we might know You and know You more. In Jesus' name, amen.